I will be reading Psalm 101 through 5. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations.
4-year-old Christopher was called upon to say the prayer of thanks before the meal. Oh, Mom, do I have to? I don't know how. Sure you do. Just thank God for our many blessings. Well, with one eye devoutly closed in prayer and the other eye discreetly open so that he could look around as he prayed, Christopher thanked God for everything in sight. Thank you, Lord God, for the chicken, the roast beef, the gravy, the potatoes, the tomatoes, the cantaloupe, the slaw, baked beans, salt, pepper, knives, spoons, forks, placemats, tablecloth, napkins. On and on he went, naming everything on the table. His brothers and sisters snickered. Mom and Dad smiled as they tried hard to keep from laughing out loud as Christopher went on and on. Thank you, God, for the table, the chairs, the floor, the drapes, the tea, the ice, the sugar, sweet and low, the lemons, the ketchup. Finally, Christopher thanked God for all the people at the table, calling them all by name. And he ended by thanking God for his dog, Spot, who was under the table. He thanked God for everything that he could see except the carrots. He said he didn't like carrots. And when he finished, his brothers and sisters began to tease him, but his mother and father thanked him for his thoughtful prayer. A 4-year-old learning the attitude of appreciation. The TBI group meets in our building on Tuesdays, and they've traditionally had a Thanksgiving meal. Nancy and I were invited to the Thanksgiving meal this past Tuesday. But this was several years ago that we were at one of the meals, and before we ate, they asked for volunteers to share something that they were thankful for. And one of the ladies stood up, and I couldn't understand everything that she said, but I recall hearing one thing. She said, "I'm glad to be alive." I do not know what all she had been through, but she was thankful to still be alive. Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 3 and 4, but immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Paul taught us that giving thanks was a much better activity than other things that at times seem to delight our world today. Immorality, impurity, greed, filthiness, silly talk, coarse jesting, which are not fitting, Paul says, but rather giving of thanks. Ephesians 5, verse 20, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. So Paul, in turn, taught us to always give thanks for all the things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So the will of God for our lives is that we learn to be people who give thanks in all circumstances. Whatever it is that happens, we learn somehow, some way to give thanks. Why do we exhibit ingratitude at times? Well, number one, sometimes we simply forget. Thoughtlessness is often at the root of thanklessness. Inadequate thinking often results in inadequate thanking. Psalm 103, verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Deuteronomy chapter 6, then it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, great and splendid cities which you did not build, and houses full of all good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, vineyards and trees which you did not plant, and you eat and are satisfied, then watch yourself, that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And so one of the hazards of abundance is ingratitude. We must always take time to think about what God has done for us and then express thanks. A second reason is that we care more about the gift we get than the giver who gives it. James chapter 1, verse 17, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. So we must continually acknowledge that our gifts come from God. And then a third reason we may exhibit ingratitude is our regret for what we do not have overshadows our gratitude for what we do have. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. I want us to think for just a few minutes about Paul as a model of gratitude. What were some of the things Paul was grateful for? Well, number one, Paul was grateful for his salvation. 1 Timothy chapter 1, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord Jesus was more than abundant with me, or with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Paul never ceased to be amazed at God's mercy and grace that saved a sinner like himself. So Paul was grateful for his salvation, and we too, I'm sure, are grateful for the salvation that we have in Christ. Number two, Paul was grateful for his brethren. Acts 28, Paul has arrived in Rome, and the brethren, when they heard about us, came from there as far as the market of Appius and three inns to meet us. And when Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. In Ephesians 1, for this reason I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you, while making mention of you in my prayers. And then Colossians 1, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints. Well, these texts inform us that Paul was encouraged by his brethren, and upon hearing of their faith and their hope and their love, he thanked God for them. I too am thankful for my brothers and sisters in Christ. You are a constant source of encouragement to me. Your faith and love is something that I am very thankful for. You may not even know how your presence is a source of encouragement to others. And I could name a lot, but when I see certain ones, it just blesses my heart. When I see my brother B.O. here, when I see Aunt Frances and coming and still trying to come and worship, what an encouragement. My sister Irene, who I know has been going through some difficult times, but I could just name a number of you this morning that really bless me and encourage me when I see you, and thank you. And I want to thank all of my brothers and sisters in Christ. So I am very thankful for you. You have been very good to me. You are a constant source of encouragement to me. And I constantly thank God for you. In his autobiography, Breaking Barriers, syndicated columnist Carl Rowan tells about a teacher who greatly influenced his life. He wrote that Miss Thompson reached into her desk drawer and pulled out a piece of paper containing a quote attributed to Chicago architect Daniel Burnham. He listened intently as she read, "Make no little plans. They have no magic to stir men's blood and probably themselves will not be realized. Make big plans, aim high in hope and work. Remember that our sons and grandsons are going to do things that would stagger us." More than 30 years later, Rowan gave a speech in which he said that Francis Thompson had given him a desperately needed belief in himself. A newspaper presented the story and someone mailed the clipping to his teacher. She wrote him, "You have no idea what that newspaper story meant to me. For years, I endured my brother's arguments that I had wasted my life, that I should have married and had a family. And when I read you gave me credit for helping to launch a marvelous career, I put the clipping in front of my brother. After he read it, I said, 'You see, I didn't really waste my life, did I?'" Your presence, your words of encouragement again mean a great deal to me. Paul and his brethren, they encouraged him. And again, he was thankful for their faith, for their love. And I just want to encourage us, if you can, to get down on your knees tonight and thank God from the bottom of your hearts for the wonderful fellowship we have with one another. Then I think Paul was grateful for God's help in overcoming difficulties. One of my favorite texts from Romans is Romans chapter 8, beginning there at verse 31. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, 'For your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered sheep to be slaughtered.' But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." I thank God for his help in overcoming those difficulties that often come to us in life. Psalm 100, the text that was read this morning, encourages us to enter his gates with thanksgiving, to give thanks to him and to bless his name. We do have a great deal for which to be thankful. But again, thankful to God most of all for the gift of his Son, for the gift of salvation, and for the opportunity for us to come together and to worship and to be a source of encouragement to one another as we strive to live the Christian life. Paul's words that I read a moment ago from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 have always been a challenge to me to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. May have shared the story before, but one of the old-time Bible commentators was coming home one day, walking. This was many, many years ago, and he was robbed. And after that, he went to his house, and he sat down, got out his diary, and he wrote in his diary, "Lord, I want to thank you that although he took everything, he did not take my life. And Lord, I want to thank you that it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed." Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We're going to sing our song of encouragement. If there's anyone here today who is ready to express his or her thanksgiving to God for that gift of salvation by coming and obeying him through faith, repentance, and baptism so that you can have the forgiveness of your sins, we hope you'll come and take that decisive step this morning. If you desire the prayers of this congregation for any reason, we are always here to pray with you, to pray for you, to help you, to encourage you in any way that we possibly can. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Bless his name. Let's stand together and sing.